Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. Righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath.
Frank Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
Choices.
Nope.
Everybody got choices.
Yep.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Shut down.
Nope.
You remember Mike Brown?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your job?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Look forward to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose,
whose light to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Should I live a simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will he fall wood forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yep.
Like to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the Most High or Satan?
To choose,
whose side to choose from, you got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Alright, alright, alright. You gonna learn today. Alright, alright, alright. You gonna learn today.
Alright, 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 alright. Shalom, 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 shalom. Shalom, everybody. Welcome once again to another episode of Bible Talk. And brothers and sisters, it is with a, I don't know if I want to call it a sad heart, but a reality, brothers and sisters, is coming to fruition. After let me look on here. Let me get this correct. Let me get this correct. After producing over 1,484 shows here on blogtalkradio.com. And with March 22nd, 2010, being the first episode that we did here on Blog Talk, some 14 years ago, going out with March would have made 15 years of shows, of classes, of topics, of podcasts, of blogs that we've done. Brothers and sisters, is with I don't want to say a heavy heart, but it's with an understanding that as of January 2025, blogtalkradio.com will be shutting down its website. Once again, as of January 2025, blogtalkradio.com will be shutting down its website. We will no longer be able to broadcast and use blogtalkradio.com. After close to 15 years, we're going to come up just, what, 3 months short of 15 years of podcasts and broadcasts that we've done, with over 1,000, as I'm looking here in the library, that we so far have 1,400, and this will be our 1,485th show that we've done, that is coming to an end, y'all, here on Blog Talk. So, we do plan on continuing with our classes, but it won't be on Blog Talk. But we are looking into and have been looking into. We're looking to see if we can get StreamYard going and can continue teaching on there. It's just that StreamYard doesn't have the library that Blog Talk has had. But you know, everything must grow. Everything must change. Everything must evolve. So our time here with Blog Talk, we're going to keep broadcasting and to the very end. But it is coming to an end, brothers and sisters. Blog Talk, Bible Talk, as we started with our first title, first names, the Sword of Truth Bible Talk, started, again, March 22nd, 2010. And through the evolutions that we've had, Bible Talk will be coming to an end here on blogtalkradio.com. It will be coming to an end January 2025. All right. So, again, if there's any shows that you might have liked or whatever, I'm looking into trying to download the over 1,500 shows that we will have produced. Trying to download all of them and save them on a hard drive. And then maybe later on, maybe we can find a way to put them, I don't know, on a website or in a library where they'll still be accessible for everybody's education, information, hopefully edification. All right. So, again, it's a bittersweet feeling, brothers and sisters. I have a bittersweet feeling that, wow, as I look here, 1,484 published episodes. And then I've got 9 private episodes, but over then in total, that right there makes 1,494 episodes that we've done so far. Of trying to bring content, of trying to bring content and trying to bring edification and trying to bring teaching. I guess on a human level, a manly level, it's a milestone that we've accomplished and actually did something like that. But wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right. Bittersweet, y'all. Bittersweet. But not to dwell on that too much longer, you know, let's go ahead and get into this. And thank the Most High that today's class wasn't interrupted from the servers being down, being that we're going through the high times of broadcasting, that it's showing that a lot of the technical problems that we were having in this past 2 months, past 3 months, have been because our shows have been, our live shows have been being produced at the highest demand for the Blog Talk website. And with that being said, it was crashing the servers. It was crashing the servers. So luckily we was able to get on tonight. And maybe almost how blessed that we can go ahead and finish up this last month. We can go ahead and finish up this last month here on Blog Talk real strong and be able to get everybody's classes out. For myself, Brother Tazapa, thank you for all your work and dedication over the years, Tazapa, here with the Blog Talk format. Not that you're stopping teaching, not in the least bit. But thank you, brother. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To the brother Bonabod, who's been there from the very beginning as well, helping with shows, putting on shows, producing shows and classes. The brother Nagaya, who's definitely added content to the format here. To the brother Bayas Safar, who has put on some history classes here. To the brother Harash, with the House of David. To Kawakab. Kawakab was definitely, you know, was in the very beginnings and helping plant the seeds. And to all the brothers over the years, to the brother, you know, Yasha Allah, to the brother Shalama, to the brother Dawiyad, to the brother Gayalaba, to the brother Karataza, to the brother Kahan. It's been so many brothers over the years. To the Sword of Truth for their help, to Kazakia, and the ISBHPK, the Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, and then with the name change, going to the Stream of Wisdom, out of Houston, out of Norfolk, out of Virginia, obviously to the Sword of Truth that from the very inception of our Bible Talk. Thank everybody who has had a part in helping produce and push and publish our shows. And being faithful and helping us get this out. So thank y'all, thank you everybody, and we're not stopping, right? Just because Blog Talk wheels are falling off doesn't mean that we're gonna stop driving. We're gonna find another vehicle and keep this going. We're gonna keep this rolling. All right. Most I say the same. That's what we're praying for. So with that, give me shouts out again to the school here in San Antonio, this Sword of Truth Bible School. I wish it was headed up by the brother Warner Iyer, the brother Sam Shawan, the brother Dawiyad. Shout out to them brothers. I went to I did Sabbath class with them this previous Saturday, this previous Sabbath. Very informational, you know, great information. The brother Warner Iyer is a great historian. He's a great historian, so I enjoyed that. And you can catch them on their YouTube channel, The Sword of Truth. San Antonio YouTube channel. Their classes are there. Please check them out. To our school in Houston, which has been going strong. When they transferred, came down from Denver, as a matter of fact, with the brother Kazaki, the brother Yarmiah, the brother Arya, the brother Thawam, and their families. When he transferred from Denver, Colorado to Houston, thank y'all again. Thank y'all as well as we. This ain't done. This is not over. It's not over. I'm thinking about God, Jam. Oh Jam, it's not over. It is not over. Fire School in Houston, the Stream of Wisdom, Houston, Texas, located at 13103 Sleepy Creek Meadows, Houston, Texas. Please check them out on their YouTube channel as well at the Stream of Wisdom, SOW, Houston, Texas, for all their class and other information. And they've got some fantastic content they've been doing on I've been seeing them on TikTok. I've been seeing the posts on Facebook. They've really stepped it. Not only them, the whole Stream of Wisdom is really stepping the game up when it comes to getting this word out as far as sending up the social media outlets that are out here and available. Great job, brothers and sisters. Great job that y'all brothers are doing. So, again, everybody, please contact the schools. Stay in touch with the schools. We got to grow. We got to grow. We got to build. We got to keep trying to find ways to unify as the world is going to get colder and colder and colder and colder. Remember, John chapter 13, verse 35 tells us that, how shall anybody know you are my disciples from the love you have one for another? That's how you're going to know the disciples of Christ, the ones whose love is continuing to go out. We're also reminded from John that no greater love than this than a man lay down his life for his friends, that you go out of your way for others. You can't show no greater love than that. And to exalt others and to esteem others better than yourself, as we're reminded of Philippians, the second chapter, to esteem others better than yourself. If you want to get any of Christ's consolations, if you want to get any of Christ's mercy, if you want to get any of Christ's comfort, then adopt his mindset like he adopted the Father's mindset and esteem others better than yourself, all right? That even when you consider the Most High God, the Creator, the Father, the Most High, his mindset is to esteem others better than himself, and not just think about what he's going through and put himself first. You know, that's a hell of a mindset to be in when you are the Creator, when you are the One. You are the Most High. That's something else to think about if we meditate on that for a little bit. But continuing on, brothers and sisters, again, for the school in Houston, shouts out to them. But the brother Quatazop and Lacroix Rob definitely handling their business out there in Houston, holding it down and keeping it down through trials, tribulations, ups, and downs. Great job. And please check out their YouTube channel, SOW Houston, Texas. SOW Stream of Wisdom, Houston, Texas. Please check out their YouTube channels as well. You can also see them on SOW TikTok, SOW Facebook. They're putting it down, brothers and sisters. Please check them out. For the school in Rochester, I get the order changed up a little bit. For the school in Rochester, located at 1222 Janice Park Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14619. Please check out their YouTube channel as well, SOW Rochester, NY. The brothers Zion are up there doing a fantastic job, a great job. They're definitely growing by leaps and bounds, brothers and sisters. Please check them out on their social media. There's no reason or no need to lose any content, any of the classes, any of the teaching going on, whether we have the Blog Talk arena or not. You can still get taught. There's still a way. There's still a will. There's still a way to continue to get taught and get great information and classes as we prepare for the kingdom of the Most High to come. All right. And they have class every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday as well. Please check out their YouTube channel. For our school in Norfolk, Virginia, in the Norfolk, Virginia area, all right, we have a school located at 4759 Brompton Drive, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456, meaning address out there, headed up by our brother Kazakia with some great work with the brother Shakwakabar and Bahar, doing some excellent. I'm not slighting you, brother. Y'all doing some great work. You've been enduring until the end, fighting, being very dependable, being very faithful and holding things down, doing some great work out there, doing some absolutely great work. Please check out their YouTube channel as well. You also check them out on Facebook Live every Tuesday and Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. SOW, North Virginia, Stream of Wisdom. Check them out. And again, their YouTube channels as well. These brothers, these families, is putting out some excellent, great work. Please continue to check them out. Shout out to my brother, Aisha Wajazov, in Albuquerque, holding it down for the Stream of Wisdom. Originally founded way back in 1992, believe it or not, brother, from 1992, nine deuce. The brother Aishwajazar holding it down. He's got the brother Karatazar, the brother Zakhar, the brother Ayal. They're holding it down, brother sister. They're definitely holding it down, doing some great work there as well. Shout out to you, Aish. Anybody like to reach Aish and what might be happening up there in Albuquerque, New Mexico area, you can reach out to him at area code 505-218-4218. All right, to the brother Aish Waitazah, the stream of knowledge, 505-218-4218 up there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. For our brother Mike Allah, with the fountain of wisdom. I'm thinking about the fountain of faith that was set up by our brother Harad Malak up there in Albuquerque. But no, the fountain of faith. As you can find on Facebook by Dr. Michael Ben Israel, if you come across that, you're in the right place. Holding it down as they are starting their 17th cycle of the Torah, of the first five books of Moses that everything hinges on, that everything is built on. The information of being Israelites is built there. We know Christ is the chief cornerstone, and Christ gave us the law. We understand that. We got that. But the 17th cycle of getting into the Torah, great job, brother. Great job to the brother Mike Allah. Hold it down every Saturday for the Torah. If you'd like to participate with that, reach out to brother Dr. Michael Ben Israel on Facebook under the Fountain of Wisdom to gain access to what they have going on as well. Shout out to our brother down there in Florida, brother Gabriel Allah. Hold it down for the Children of Israel, COI, Children of Israel down there in Florida, in the Orlando, Tampa Bay, Ocala area of Florida. Hold it down, keeping it going. Great job. As they also keep the Sabbath classes going as well. And you can reach out to the brother Gabaya Allah for that information, or you can hit me up also. I can let you in on when they have their Torah classes every Saturday as well. And it's different times, too. Whereas the brother Michael Ben Israel with the aid and help of brother Gabar Kowa do the Torah every Sabbath as well, but the brother Aishwajazah, they just start theirs at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, and the brother Gabar Yael and the children of Israel do their Torah readings at 2 p.m. 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you would like to tune in. There's great information coming out of both. Different perspectives on the same reading. I mean, it's a lot. It's great information. And again, this is by no means to pull you away from some of the great teachings going on with the Sabbath classes with the brother One and Iyer, with the Sword of Truth, or with the brother Kazakia, coming out of Norfolk, coming out of Virginia, as they do a Sabbath ceremony as well. I mean, if you want to get it, it's there. If you want to get taught, you want to get some understanding, you're trying to get your spirit, your mind ready for Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, God's kingdom come, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's too many outlets out here that's giving great information to help you keep your spirit strong, help you keep your faith strong, as we're going to be facing some of the most horrendous times ever seen on earth, as we're going to face some of the most horrendous times that the earth has ever seen, as we prepare for the birth of the saints of God, the birth of the God's kingdom on earth like it is in heaven. We're here, brothers and sisters, like it's described in the Bible in many places, that it's going to be like a woman in travail when she's about to give birth, that as it gets closer and closer for the baby to be delivered, those contractions and those pangs get more intense, and they get closer and closer, where you might have the Braxton Hicks maybe once a month, or maybe once every 3 weeks. But as it's getting closer and closer for that baby to actually be delivered, it's time for that baby to actually now come out and be born and presented to the world. The contractions, the pain, the labor is very intense. It's very intense. And we have several metaphors and examples and scriptures where Christ's kingdom being done on earth as in heaven is described like a woman in travail. That when Christ gets here and is actually delivering the nation of Israel, which is going to mark also the beginning of his kingdom on earth like it is in heaven. It's going to be like a woman who's giving birth. And, you know, there's a lot of blood. There's a lot of screaming. There's a lot of pain when that woman is in the midst of that labor, giving birth to a lot of women can testify to where that pain is so intense that some women elect to have an epidural, an actual needle shoved into their spine, and to numb the pain because it is that great and it's that intense. That's how it's going to be as we're in these days now, and preparing for to be delivered, preparing for the righteous to be delivered, and God's kingdom and God's will to be done on earth like it is in heaven. So again, brothers and sisters, again, shout out again to all the schools out here, and not just the schools that I mentioned that I've worked with intimately, but shout out to the brothers IUIC, shout out to the brothers ISUPK, shout out to the brothers Light of Zion, Believers of the Way, shout out to I've got a lot of Sakari, Genesis, I've got a lot of GMS, GOCC, True Nation. I hear we all, you know, as the nation of Israel, and that's one thing we got to remember. We're not dealing with a religion, brothers and sisters. This is the birth of a nation. We're talking about the birth and the reawakening of the nation of Israel, which has been lost to history. It's been lost to the world. That we're now waking up, and it's a nation being put together, not a church, not a religion, but an actual nation awakening. The nation, the people who are direct descendants of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. The 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. Not the 12 tribes of the church of Israel. Not the 12 tribes of the religion of Israel. But the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. The actual children of Israel. That's another name that we have. That we're here, brothers and sisters. We are here. So with that, let me go ahead and quickly, not quickly, because it's not a waste of time. Let me go ahead and now acknowledge and put together this prayer list as we want to be in the practice of esteeming others better than ourselves, to esteem others better than ourselves. So with that, the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Please send your Holy Spirit of mercy and peace to watch over, to bless, to heal, to strengthen, to help, to protect, and to build up. And Father, as we're reminded in Numbers chapter 6, we're reminded where it says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And we ask these things, Father, for our brother Kubatazah, out there in Arizona. We ask for our brother Moshe, his wife Katina, and his son LJ and his daughter Princess up there in Arkansas. We ask for our brother Rapa out there in California, Kobe Couchette. We ask for our sister Yapaya here in San Antonio and for her sister Arlene out there in Oxnard, California. We continue prayers, Father, for Tina Gomez here in San Antonio. We continue to ask for our brother Aviyar up there in Omaha, Nebraska. Continue to ask for our brother Awarna Iyer and for his wife Ayana here in San Antonio, and for Ayana's brother and for Ayana's brother Chad and for his son Cammy, Father. Continue prayers for this Bobby Dixon, the mother of our sister Kalia, the wife of our brother Ariah here in San Antonio. Continue prayers, Father, for the sister Sierra Leek, the daughter of our brother David, up there in Dallas, Texas. And continue prayers, Father, we ask for David also and for his brother Tim. Continue prayers we ask, Father, for of the family that has been with me all the way from Miami, for the birth of my sons, of my daughters, who is an auntie and uncle to everyone, to the brother Thalmon Rakas, and to his wife Waradiah, to the son Kizakia, to the son Chayat, to all the children, Father, we ask that that we might put your name upon them. We ask, Father, for our sister Becky, and for Daryl up in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and for Carmen, who is the sister of our friend Becky up there in Albuquerque. Please be with them, Father. Prayers, Father, for the entire Lovett family, including Aunt Sally, Ernestine Morris, Charlie Westbrook, and Edna Jackson. Father, I'm asking for prayers and for the name to be upon my aunt, Emma Jackson, my uncle, James Jackson, and my uncle, Henry Jackson. I'm asking for my cousin, Jamar Jackson, James Jackson, Craig Burnett, and Marty Clayton. Marty, my cousin Marty, Father, Marty Jackson. And then for all their children and grandchildren, Father. For my Aunt Patsy, also in Flagstaff, Arizona, Father, please be with them. Prayers, we ask, Father, for the Coates family, for those up in Dallas, Texas, and for those in Albuquerque as well, please be with them, Father. Prayers, Father, we ask for the brothers Dawam, my young, out there in Houston with his wife, Shariah, and for their son, Benaiah. Continue prayers, Father, we ask for our brother Dawam here in San Antonio, West Beverly. For the special needs children, Father, we ask for Cece, the daughter of our brother Tazapa and his wife, Arakaya. Father, we ask for the Isalee, the daughter of our brother, Gabar Kowa. And Father, we continue to ask for Aliyah, the daughter of our brother Bonabon and his wife, Kwadashaya. Continue prayers, Father, for my brother, our brother, everybody's brother, Tazapa, and for Tazapa's mother, Miss Catherine, and for Miss Catherine's help, Miss Barbara, and Miss Barbara's husband, Mr. Charles. Continue prayers, Father, for our brother and our friend, Yenabathon. Continue prayers, Father, for Gabar Yahala down there in Florida with his wife, Aisha, and for Aisha's mother, Ruthie Mae Johnson. Continue prayers, Father, we ask for our brother in Florida as well, Sean Pudash, his wife, Mariah, and for this son, Kazakia. Continue prayers, Father, we continue to ask for Pat Washington, who is the mother of our brother, LV, and for Lashonda Washington, the cousin of our brother, LV. Continue prayers, Father, we ask for our brother LV, our brother David, the brother and our brother Ariah, who are truck drivers, Father. Please be with them and keep them safe on these roads, especially becoming to the wintertime, Father. Please continue to be with them. Continue prayers, Father, we ask for our sister Guadashaya, that I've been around and had the opportunity to teach going again all the way back to the days when I was first in Miami. Who's traveled here to help out San Antonio, been in Atlanta. Father, we ask for our sister, Kwadashaya, the wife of our brother, Barabad. Continue prayers, Father, we ask for our, the friends, Sean Stark, Sylvia Khan. Father, we pray for our brother, Yama, that he might be safe, that he might be all right, that he's in your hands, Father. Continue prayers, we ask for our brother, Kazakabar, up there in Denver, Colorado. And Father, I do ask for my parents as well, for Eddie and Bobby Morris up there in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Father. And Father, we are reminded again in Numbers chapter 6, verse 27, it says, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So we ask, Father, in the name of your anointed, in the name of Christ and his reputation, that you might be with these, that everybody we ask for, Father, and help keep their faith strong, and help keep them strong in these days as we are patiently awaiting, eagerly awaiting, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth like it is in heaven. And with that, Father, we say, Amen. So be it. Until to be continued. All right, with that, brothers and sisters, kind of a long introduction that we just did here and everything. Let me take a quick break. Let me take a quick break. And when I come back, we're going to continue on with the class that we've started, I've been started. Let me pull it up here. Episode 32, right? Episode number 32, build your house upon a rock, build your house upon faith, episode 32. And today we're going to be dealing with the temple of the great goddess Diana. That was in Ephesus. And the reason we're going to be going into this, remember the last class we did in this series of Build Your House, we were covering about whether the use of wigs and the use of wigs and weaves and makeup and the outward adorning of the flesh, you know, for men and women, including we touched on a little bit briefly about beauty pageants. How beauty pageants are directly linked back to pagan origins. Of trying to find the most beautiful woman, to where they would wear, you know, like modern day is wearing the gowns, but make sure they got their hair all done up in a certain way, wearing the makeup, and then showcasing some type of talent or whatever in some type of competition. And brothers and sisters, those beauty pageants go back to the festivals of ancient pagan heathen worship. All right, and that's why so many it was being told to the women in 1 Timothy. And by Peter, they let your adorning be the adorning of a meek and quiet spirit. That, according to how the Most High looks at a woman's femininity, is not just in how she dresses, is not just in the makeup, is not in making sure she has pearls or that she has fingernail polish or that she has her hair done. Not that she has to be a slob either, but to put the emphasis on those things, those are definitely pagan ideals. And remember, not just in getting on the women, brothers and sisters, we've also covered even with men, that when we go back and we read, and we've done it, remember, men were told not to cut, we were not supposed to pull our beards. We were not supposed to trim our, not we could trim our beards, but to mar the corner of our beards. And as I look on, you know, I'm on TikTok, that social media outlet. They have a lot of barbers, a lot of hair designers, even dealing with men who are now charging some outlandish prices to get a haircut, $165 for to get your hair washed, $80 just to get a basic fade, and then don't let the barber pull out a razor and give you an edge up with an actual straight razor. They're charging some phenomenal prices. That one barber in particular, I forget his name, on TikTok, is trying to make $1 million, trying to become a millionaire by being a barber and a content creator. But as I look at some of these things, to make it necessary as a beauty standard, even for men, to get the edge ups, with the sharpest razor in the city. Brothers and sisters, as part of the beauty standard for men, according to how the Most High looks at things, we weren't supposed to get the bald fades. We weren't supposed to get the edge ups, or even, and it says directly, that's not to shave our heads bald. Thou shalt not make baldness upon the heads. So when we get the straight razors and we're trying to make the crispest lines, the real crispy lines, and the C cups and all that type of stuff. And as we make sure that you got your tapir going below your occipital bone, come on, brothers and sisters. All the outward adorning, all the outward appearance, that is not how God wanted men to acknowledge their masculinity. To be with the shirt off, and showing the pectoral muscles, showing your pecs and showing the biceps and the deltoids and the traps, and your core, how strong your core is or whatever, and that's supposed to be a sign of masculinity, and that's how you acknowledge a man, that's very pagan. That's where Hercules and all that type of worship, and Zeus and Thor, that a leader or whatever is supposed to look and have these type of beauty qualifications in order to be considered masculine, in order to be considered a man. Come on, brothers and sisters. Y'all remember in the scriptures where it even said that David was a stripling. And when I come back, you know, I'm going to take this quick break. And when I come back, let me see if I can find that scripture, and then I'll see if we can just bring that out a little bit. And let's get into that just a little bit, because I also don't want to just make this about women as much as this is about all of us really examining and taking a look at ourselves and what standard of wisdom, knowledge, understanding are we looking to derive our confidence from, to derive our faith from, that we are solid and raising up children and raising up ourselves, that we are strong in our faith and what the Bible teaches us, and not from the standards and the influences of the world. So with that, brothers and sisters, a quick break. As our time is winding down, we're going to go to Back to Life, Back to Reality, and we'll be back in 2 and 2. Let me find this on my board. Here we go. Quick break, y'all.
All right.
All right, brother, sis. I'm just, you know, as, again, as we're about to wind up January 2025, we will no longer be the Blog Talk Radio website will no longer be running. There's going to be some of these sound bites that we've collected over time, what have you, that we still kind of use. And there's been a lot. There's been a lot. So just trying to hit it up a little bit. All right. Before the break, I was talking about, you know, even among men and kind of looking at things when the Most High looks at things. And I was giving an example of men as we get ready to go into the temple of the great goddess Diana. But even with men, remember when David was picked, remember this here. When we go to 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 56, 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 56, David was called a stripling. And it reads, let me pull that up real quick. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 56, and I don't want to read the whole story. I just want to get this one particular part in this right now. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 56, it says, "And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is." So we see here where David was considered a stripling. All right? And when we look at the word stripling, from Webster's 1828 dictionary, just not to Merriam-Webster, but just Webster's 1828 dictionary, it says stripling, a noun from strip, a stripe, primarily a tall, slender youth, one that shoots up suddenly, a youth in a state of adolescence or just passing from boyhood to manhood, a lad. But he was a slender youth. He wasn't this muscular Hercules Jr. He wasn't this Ron Coleman Jr. For those who might be into bodybuilding, he was tall and slender. All right, he was tall and slender. Not anywhere looking like the type of the typical type of warrior that we would imagine a warrior should look like. That his forearms look like oak trees. His traps look like two boulders. His shoulders and his biceps look like a trip through the Rocky Mountains. Not at all, brothers and sisters. Not at all. Those were the standards of beauty and of masculinity that the heathen, in particular the Greeks and the Romans, looked for in their leaders. For them to be the tallest, the most muscular, strongest, to be picked as their leaders to lead them into battle. Those were the standards, the beauty standards and the standards of masculinity from the nations, not how God said you should pick a leader or what you should look for in a leader. That's on the male side, and also for when it comes to dealing with females, that the scripture tells us specifically, do not desire a woman for her beauty. If the only reason you want to make her a potential wife, if you will, make her a wife, is because she looks good, then what's going to happen when she gets old? And you hear so many women these days saying they have a self-esteem issue because they figure that, yeah, my husband or the man I'm with, he's going to want somebody younger. He's going to want a younger woman. He's going to want a younger woman who still looks good. So you have the plastic surgery business in America is going crazy, from people trying to get Botox, trying to get rid of wrinkles, trying to get rid of any acne, from the Brazilian butt lifts to the breast implants to they have vaginal plastic surgery that women should now get to kind of tighten up down there, let alone the liposuction or whatever, because now the definition of femininity, the definition of being a woman, is completely based on their looks. And again, brothers and sisters, just as a reminder, between Leah and Rachel, and remember, what I was called, I was found kind of ironic, if you will. When you look up the word Leah, and we read the word Leah in the Paleo Hebrew, it's pronounced La'a. And La'a is also the way you say no in Hebrew. So her name from her parents, from her father, was no. But that, again, that her father being Laban, the Syrian from Paddan Aram, who was very entrenched with the gods and the practices and the ceremonies and the rituals of the gods of Syria and the gods of Paddan Aram, you named your daughter La'a, you named her No. And then we know that Rachel was known for her beauty. But between those two, who did God show more favor to? If you will, the underdog. That's always been how God picks and chooses and works with the underdog, the least expected. So just keeping some of these things in mind. But as now we get ready to go, as we dive into this next 45 minutes of this class, and let me say that also. Today is not going to be a two-hour class. I have to go to the plantation tonight. All right, I have to go to the plantation tonight. So this is only going to be a 90-minute class. Now, this is going to be a 90-minute class. I can't say it too many more times. To be continued here on Blog Talk, all the way up until the wheels fall off in January 2025, Blog Talk servers will be shut down. That's not on our part. That's not on our end. We keep the monthly bill paid every month to keep producing shows, whatever. But Blog Talk creators are shutting down Blog Talk. They are shutting down Blog Talk. There will be no more Blog Talk. I will continue this class as time permits and everything and try to keep it going to the end. I'm sure that the same for my brother Tazapa, for my brother Nagaya, and my brother Banabad. We're going to keep this going until the wheels fall off, all right? So now continuing and picking up with this class, brothers and sisters, please join me in going to Acts chapter 19, all right? And if you've been with us in the series that I did on Idols of the Gentiles and the subcategory also of spiritual fornication, we've covered a lot of this that we're going over right now. Some of the things that I'm going right now, we went into a lot more detail. In the series Idols of the Gentiles and Spiritual Fornication. All right. For now, if you go to our library at blogspotradio.com, pull up our website, under MASHAHBA, and go into the search box there. Once you get to our library, our episode page, and you type in Idols of the Gentiles or Spiritual Fornication, and that series will come up. And I believe that also was a 31-part series, if I'm not mistaken. And we've covered these in depth. But I want to touch on a little bit here tonight as we move on, okay? And we're dealing with more of this thing about stressing on the outward beauty, of a woman. Just dive a little bit more into it, all right? Just want to dive a little bit more into it. And the reason I'm doing this, also, brothers and sisters, right, where myself, Banabad, Tazapa, Nagaya, we try and give you the sources that we're pulling from the Bible, from secular sources, from history, from the Encyclopedia Britannica, Jewish Encyclopedia, and commentaries. Is that you can feel confident in that you're making a decision that pleases God, that it's going to be very contrary to the world's outlook and the world's definition and the world's way of doing things, but now you might be equipped with the actual wisdom, knowledge, understanding of the scriptures and of God, and not just left to your emotions about how you feel, or the emotions of how your mother might have felt, or your dad might have felt, or your friends might have felt, or a beauty pageant might have felt. No. Your self-esteem doesn't have to be based on that, but you can actually start to build a confidence and a feeling good about yourself that you're doing things that are right in the eyes of God, that you're doing things that are right in the eyes of the Creator. And being careful not to be caught up into the warnings we have from Timothy and Peter as well, that in the last days, perilous times shall come where men should be lovers of their own selves and lovers of pleasures, one of the lovers of God. That we don't want to be, we want to be careful that we don't slip into that mindset or into that place of, I'm going to do what makes me happy. I'm going to live my best. And in the midst of that, you having that mentality, you're actually going against God. That now it's more about how you feel and what you find pleasure in and not from God's perspective. You're not a person not even giving a regard to God's perspective, but a person find a way to keep and do their own pleasure. Keep and do what they feel and follow their own heart and their own imagination and not giving any consideration or acknowledgement to how God feels or where God's coming from. All right? So with that, I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 19. I'm starting verse 21. We're going to read Acts chapter 19, verses 21 through 28. Again, for those following along, I'm going to the book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 21 through 28. I'm going to read. It says, after these things were ended, Paul proposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So Paul is traveling. All right. Paul is traveling. I don't want to go into all the details again. But as he's traveling, when he passed through Macedonia and Achaia on his way to Jerusalem. So he's coming from Asia, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem. And he said, yeah, and then after Jerusalem, I got to get to Rome. As we know, Paul was called the evangelist. That was one of his titles, that Paul did a lot of traveling in spreading true Christianity, in spreading the truth of Christianity, of repentance to the nation and children of Israel who had been scattered throughout Asia, throughout Europe, and throughout the promised land, that he was that evangelist. He was that person, right, as an example of these things. The other apostles, the same thing, but we know Paul did a lot of traveling in trying to awaken and bring the Israelites back to not only their culture, but to get it back on track with the whole idea of repentance, of changing and doing right, doing better. So, verse 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him, Timotheus and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a season. So he sent his two understudies, Timothy, where we get 1 and 2 Timothy from, and Erastus. All right? These were two of his apprentices that he was teaching. And he sent them before him to go and get things ready for his arrival. All right? A lot of work was going on. There was a lot of things, a lot of administration that had to be handled. And these men had found themselves to be dependable, that he could trust them, that they received the training that they were supposed to receive to go before him and get things ready for him to come and teach. So reading on now, verse 23. At the same time, there arose no small stir about that way. For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So while in Asia, we're going to find that this place in Asia was actually Ephesus, all right? That you had a certain man, a Jew, he was an Israelite, but he was making mad money. He was getting paid off of the worship and the shrines and the manufacturing, the business for Diana. And when we're talking, I'm talking money, bro. I'm not talking about just like a little flea market, spot in the flea market that he was setting up just, you know. No, we're talking about the construction, financing the construction of temples, plural. We're talking about the manufacturing of the clothes that went towards Diana worship, the trinkets, including like the jewelry, the makeup. We're talking about the pageants, the festivals. So we're going to cover all this that would be generated throughout the cities of Asia that this man was over, that this man headed up. So we're talking about the craftsmen. So you're talking about the floats. Just like you have modern day floats, we're in cars.
You had floats back then also, brother and sister, that would be on carts, drawn by horses, drawn by bulls, some drawn by people, drawn by slaves, drawn by men, that would pull these carts. And the women out, you know, doing what they're doing, waving to the crowd and being admired for their beauty and being admired for this, that, or whatever. Similar to like Mardi Gras, the throwing of beads. And what would you do to have a bead thrown to you? Doing the research, some of the beads, even with the Mardi Gras celebration, the throwing of beads, it wasn't just the plastic cheap beads that are thrown out today. When the throwing of beads started, it started back in the early 1900s. And in order to get the beads from the people that would be in the on the floats, they were actual gems. They would be gems. They would be actual glass. And if you wanted the person on the float to recognize you and bless you with these trinkets, bless you with getting some of these beads, you had to get their attention. And the way you would get their attention is either how you were dressed or how you were undressed. So if a woman went ahead and exposed her breasts, if that got the attention, she got the beads. To whatever type of whatever you had to do by any means necessary to get the attention of the people on the floats, that they might now throw some beads to you, and whatever you have to do to get their attention during this time. So this craftsman, Demetrius, there was a lot of industry that was going in to uphold. Think about this, brothers and sisters, if I could help give this picture. When did stores, in 2024, when did you notice stores putting up Christmas decorations? I've seen some stores here in San Antonio actually starting to put up the Christmas decorations in early October. Early October. Christmas decorations are already being put up in the aisles. Not even for their pagan Halloween had passed, or their pagan Dia de Muertos, the Day of the Dead, had passed. And there's already stores in early October, not even Thanksgiving, nope, not even on the radar. Early October, they were already putting up Christmas decorations, getting people's minds ready for Christmas. So how much it goes into the preparation of getting people ready and getting people's minds set for these pageants, for these celebrations, for these ceremonies, for these rituals? I mean, from the food. Think about all the food that is around. If I just use Christmas, think about all the food that is cooked and prepared and having gotten ready for just like something like Christmas. But for Diana, it was no different. For Diana, it was nothing different. The special meals that had to be offered, from the fatted calves, the fatted turkeys, the fatted animals. That this year it was good. It was, and for merchants, it was a way for you to get paid. It was a way for you to get money. That you are now, you have the goods, you have the materials, you have the products for people to enjoy and celebrate these celebrations and celebrate these rituals and celebrate these days to their fullest. So we're talking about Demetrius was an actual mogul and had his hand in many parts of the industry when it came to the worship of Diana. From come on, advertising. Come on, you think advertising only started with P. Diddy and the street teams? Come on, y'all. Of getting people's minds ready and looking forward to and excited about whatever the next pageant, the next festival was going to be in honoring of these gods, of this goddess, even Diana. The dress codes that took place. So this man was very heavily business-minded and had craftsmen. So you talk about craftsmen, so you talk about unions. Who's going to build the carts? That now these floats can be adorned on. Again, the different fashion, different dresses, all the elaborate costumes. This man was one of the, he was the plug, and not just in Ephesus, but throughout all Asia, the cities of Asia. But Ephesus was definitely the capital. No different like we have the like America has the Thanksgiving Day Parade. They have the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade up there in New York City. Thanksgiving is celebrated throughout all the country of America. And even as Tuss Pop went over last year, why some countries in Africa are celebrating the American Thanksgiving, the third Thursday of every month. But it's huge. But you had the main pageants, the main parade, Macy's Day Parade up there in New York City, with all the floats and all the pageantry, and all the people lined up to watch everything and participate in these things. Or like I said, like a Mardi Gras, where everybody, or Carnival, that everybody from all the year, the whole year, how much time, effort, and expense have been put into preparing for these festivals, preparing for these pageants, preparing for these parades. There's nothing new under the sun, brothers and sisters. There's nothing new under the sun. So Demetrius was getting a bag. He was definitely getting a bag, and so were all the unions and the craftsmen and all the different cities that he was over. All right, verse 25. It says, whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Everybody catch that? I'm in Acts chapter 19, verse 25. I'm going to read that again. Whom he called together with the workmen of like occupation and said, sirs, ye know that by this craft we have our wealth. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but almost throughout all Asia, this Paul hath persuaded and turned away much people, saying that they be no gods, which are made with hands. So you see with it that this became like something so big. He gathered businessmen from all over Asia. And brothers and sisters, I don't know if it stood out to you, but did you notice how Paul was becoming famous for turning people away from all these different types of celebrations, from all these different types of pageants, from all these different types of parades and festivals? And it was starting to impact the money. It was starting to make an impact on the money that these men were collecting throughout all these cities in Asia, not just there at Ephesus. Think about it, as Israelites keep waking up and we learn about Christmas and we stop celebrating Christmas, upholding Christmas. Think about Israelites that as they wake up and understand that birthdays are satanic and stop participating in birthdays, stop participating in Valentine's days, stop participating in the man-made Mother's Day, the man-made Father's Day, the man-made Valentine's Day. How this will affect the bag. This will affect the money as Israelites actually wake up to the actual true culture of what it means to be a Hebrew Israelite, to where we're not participating in any of these type of things. And we start to affect their money. This is one way we can look and see in ourselves, are we really going about things the right way? Are we really unifying and stopping these customs and these traditions and these rituals that we've learned from our parents, from our grandparents, from being in this society? Or are we still partaking in it? Because if we're not affecting the bag, if we're not affecting the money, then are we really, what are we really doing?
what are we really doing then? All right? So, Acts chapter 19, verse 27. So that not only this, our craft, is in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised, and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worshipeth. And when they had heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, Great is Diana of the Ephesians. Now, we only read this here, like I said, in Acts chapter 19, we're only getting a little snippet. But you got to put yourself back in that mindset, brothers. What was really taking place now? That these wealthy businessmen from all the different cities in Asia that were getting wealthy, deriving their wealth, their generational wealth, from all these festivals and the worship of Diana and what that meant. That now they're stirring up people like, hell no. Don't you like the beauty pageants? Don't you like dressing this way? Why are you letting this man come and be such a conservative? Why are you letting this man come and intrude and impede upon your sense of liberty? Don't you have fun at these festivals? Doesn't it make you feel good as a woman to dress the way you want to dress and not let no man tell you what to do or how to dress or how to be, how to wear your hair? Don't you like the freedom and joy? Then why are you letting this man come in with all this other stuff? And don't you make money? Aren't you happy? Then why are you letting this person come and impede and intrude on what makes you happy and what gives you pleasure? We have to kind of understand and think about if this was done in the modern day world, what type of things would we put in place to make sure people don't? What type of things would we put in place so that the children who are going to be repeat customers, wouldn't you want to put things in place so that the children are now thirsty, the children are now longing for, the children are looking forward to these customs, these rituals, these styles of dress? Because once the parents are dead, you've got the kids to continue on these traditions, to continue on these customs, to be lifelong customers, to be valued customers. That you now want to make sure that these concepts and these things, these advertisements, I would say like that, are now given to the kids, so the kids are not longing for it. And what parent wants to make the kids unhappy? And how the kids not feeling the self-esteem that, well, all the other kids are doing this, everyone else is doing it, so why do we have to set apart and be different? How come I'm not being accepted by my peers? They make fun of us in school. They make fun of us out in public. Everybody else is participating and doing and having all this type of fun and going to parties and winning pageants and becoming the king of this parade and the queen of that parade and on the royal court and all these type of things. And they're getting the jewelry, getting the clothes. They're going to the balls. They're going to all these different dances. And how come we can't have just a little bit of fun? We've got to look at the psychology that's taking place, the psychological warfare that's taking place for these men to keep the money coming. But what would they have to get into the minds of people so that the people are now going against Paul and the true teachings of Christ? So with that, doing some research. This is from Search Labs. What I'm bringing now is from Search Labs. It's an AI overview, okay, about Diana. And y'all can please do the same search yourself. And this is what it says. Again, this is from Search Labs. And I typed in Diana of the Ephesians. All right, you can also do the same thing if you choose to go want to look it up. So this is what was going on when we look into and dive into a little bit about this Diana of the Ephesians. Diana of the Ephesians, also known as Artemis of Ephesus, was worshipped in many ways, including, all right, and again, brothers and sisters, we have gone deep into Diana, Artemis, Venus, Aphrodite, Ishtar, Ashtoreth, and Ceramus. We've covered that in a series. And if you'd like to get a hold of that, while the Blog Talk library is still available, you can still go and look it up under the Birth of Christ series that we did, and Idols of the Gentiles, and Spiritual Fornication. I've covered that in those series, and then the Brother Charles Apostle also covered it when he's going over the Trinity. These things have been covered. But in dealing with Diana of the Ephesians, who is also known as Artemis of Ephesus, was worshipped in many ways, including festivals, plural. Celebrations included music, dancing, singing, and dramatic presentations. And again, brothers, if you're trying to get a mental picture, what do you see at a Mardi Gras? All the floats and how all the costumes, how people are dressed. Well, you see something like a Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade with all the floats and all the hot air balloons of different characters and the marching bands and all the music that takes place in a parade, a homecoming parade. Think about it, brothers and sisters. But this is what was going on. You think this is just something that just popped up here in America out of the blue? All the different beauty pageants associated with these parades. So, again, Diana of the Ephesians, also known as Artemis of Ephesus, was worshipped in many ways, including festivals. Celebrations included music, dancing, singing, and dramatic presentations. The Ephesian Artemis Festival was a key part of the Pan-Hellenic festival circuit and was essential to the region's economy. Brothers and sisters, how many state fairs are held? And every year that these fairs are held, there's a parade. And as these parades are held, and there's beauty pageants, and there's festivals, and there's singing, and there's dancing, and there's dramatic presentations, and how much does it help boost the economy of the region when that fair is held? When those beauty pageants are held. And when the beauty pageants, there's a rodeo, or is it a competition? It might be even a sport competition. Not just the beauty competition, but all the different competitions that are observed. It might be wrestling. It might be track. It might be some type of sporting competition that takes place to help boost the economy of that region. Brothers and sisters, this is what they was doing in Ephesus. Reading on. It says, processions. A statue of Diana was carried through the streets at night by women devotees. A parade of beautiful women dressed very scantily. This was pagan feminism. Make sure you're being seen. Make sure there's a way for that you're recognized for your womanhood. And then the temple. Reading on.
says the temple. The temple of Artemis was one of the seven wonders of the world. The temple was massive and run by female officials.
Are you a man? Can you feel me? Throw your hands up at me. This ain't new. This mentality is not new. Queen Latifah, I'm going way back into my hip-hop bag. Ooh, ladies first. Ladies first. Ooh, and come on. And Queen Dana, you're gay? You're a lesbian? Championing? Women's rights? Come on, y'all. Come on. You really can't see the connection? And then how massive and how elaborate was this temple that it was considered one of the seven wonders of the world, brothers and sisters? Pilgrimages. People came from all over the world to worship at the temple that was ran by women, that glorified women. Statues. Images of Diana, large and small, dominated the city. The main statue in the temple may have been a black meteorite, as Diana was said to have fallen from the sky. A black meteorite? A black statue? Games and contests. Games and contests were held in her name. You're thinking it's just a potato sack race. But what are you instilling in the minds of young children? A competition. The bottom for apples. The cake bake-offs. The biggest pumpkins. The biggest watermelons. Who's got the healthiest cow? The horses, the horse races, the camel races. And how much betting was taking place in these places? Come on, y'all. Come on now. And if you see a picture, and y'all can look it up, look up a picture of a statue of Diana. You think it's an East Indian statue, but it's not. But it's a woman who's got like 100 breasts all around her, surrounding her body, her whole body. It said Diana was the Greek goddess of the hunt and was associated with fertility, childbirth, and the protection of women. So this, in honoring this woman, you were honoring women. You were putting women first. And she was a protector of women. Her worship was central to the economy of Ephesus, and the cult brought great wealth to the citizens. From the gowns, the makeup, the shoes, the preparation. How much goes into this shocked me. When I was in school, brothers and sisters, when I was in high school, the homecoming king and queen, that was in high school. We really didn't have no homecoming king and queen in middle school. And we damn sure didn't have no homecoming king and queen in elementary school. The high school prom, one of the biggest things that a person would look forward to is the high school prom, the senior prom. That you had to be at least a junior to go to the senior prom, but to get the prom dress and to possibly become the prom queen or the prom king, as well as the homecoming king or queen, but it being necessary, you got to get a tuxedo. You have to dress to the nines. That man better get a tuxedo with a cummerbund. And then he better bring the one, the girl who's got some type of elaborate gown, elaborate dress. He better bring her that corset or corsage.
Might have to rent a limo, a driver, to pull up to the prom, to pull up to the
homecoming court. Plus, I'm hearing that they're now having homecoming kings and queens in middle school and elementary school.
Ain't that convenient to not have kids looking forward to next year? I'm going to start getting ready this year. So now I got to make sure my hair looks this way. I got to make sure I got this type of gown, this type of tuxedo.
I got to make sure that everybody can see and know and recognize me.
Save my money. Okay, I got to pay for all this. It used to be just like the quinceañeras.
It used to be the sweet 16 birthdays.
Where's it going to now? Come on, y'all. This ain't hard. Reading on now. It says, worship rituals for Diana of Ephesus. And you can do this. You can type this into Google. That's what I use. I'm sure it's probably in Safari or Explorer or wherever you want to look through. But worship rituals for Diana of Ephesus, also known as Artemis of Ephesus. And that's my 90-second mark. I'm going to be just a little bit over this 90 minutes. I'm going to be just a little bit over. It says, also known as Artemis of Ephesus, often involved large processions, dancing, music, singing, and chanting with a focus on fertility and protection during childbirth, sometimes including erotic elements due to the goddess's image with many breasts. Did y'all catch that? Including erotic elements due to the goddess's image with many breasts. That this is a woman being feminine. To dress and dance erotically and to show off your womanhood. This is not how God wanted things done from the very beginning for men and women, for husband and wives, for our children. This was pagan. Reading on. Sacrifices were primarily food and libations. Did y'all catch that? These sacrifices, these festivals, the ceremonies were primarily food and libations. That's food and drink, y'all. It's not so bad. What's the Independence Day parade, the one on July 4th? The nation's hot dogs, where you see how many hot dogs you can eat in such amount of time, or pieces of pizza, or just engorge yourself in food as part of the festival, as part of the parade? Reading on. And the cult featured a large number of eunuch priests and virgin priestesses serving in the temple, young men and young women. Key points about Diana of Ephesus worship. Fertility focus. The primary aspect of worship centered around the goddess's association with fertility, pregnancy, and childbirth, often depicted with numerous breasts on her statue. The celebrating of woman. The celebrating of the woman. Reading on, processions and celebrations. Large celebratory processions with music, dancing, and dramatic presentations were a key part of the worship. The pageants, the pageantry, eunuch priests. The Temple of Artemis in Ephesus was known to have a large number of eunuch priests serving the goddess. Everyone says, is it really a stretch that if you have these men
and it's the worship, it's about celebrating the woman. Are we going to really act like these men were not dressed like transvestites? Are we really going to put this, that this was not about men being androgynous and putting on the makeup and looking like women and coming to the RuPaul and coming to the dancing and the beautiful clothes and getting in touch with your softer side? There is nothing new under the sun. Reading on. I'm finished reading this, and then I might have to call this a day, brothers and sisters. Reading on. Erotic elements. Some accounts describe the worship as having erotic elements due to the suggestive imagery of the goddess and the nature of the celebrations. Offerings. While animal sacrifices might have occurred, the primary offerings were food, libations, and incense. We know that incense had cannabis in it, had opium in it. The mind-altering type of substances. Check this out. And this, I'm about to end this now. Check this out, y'all. Wonder Woman was created. We're talking about Wonder Woman. You know, DC Comics, Wonder Woman. You know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. Yeah, Wonder Woman, right? Wonder Woman was created with the goddess in mind. She was named after the goddess Diana, whom the ancient Romans had known as a virgin moon goddess, a goddess of the hunt and of childbirth, whose origins stretch back into ancient Italy, where she was regarded as the queen of the witches, enchantress, seductive. Why would you have, in the DC Comics, why would you have this Mighty Man and Superman? You got Batman with a cape and a mask. You have Green Lantern. The Flash has a mask on. But the only woman is damn in a bikini? She's damn near in a bikini. Damn near with thigh-high boots. With that, brother, sisters, I'm forced. We have to go ahead and close the subject down for tonight. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hopefully, you did receive some edification from this or receiving some edification. I'm going to try and continue this. I'm not going to try. I'm going to continue this series that I'm on. We will be continuing with part 33, and we're gonna find a way to either get a new podcast going or get on YouTube or what have you. But we're gonna find a way to keep these classes going. We're going to find a way to keep these classes going. With that, again, thank everybody for tuning in. Please tune in tomorrow. As I haven't spoke to him yet, but as the Brother Tazipar continues on with his series that he's been doing, tomorrow is the talks about Tuesdays, Never Wax Pale. He's completed Galatians. He's finally completed Galatians, so I look forward to see what he's going to be diving into next. For this last month that we have a blog talk. Not the last month of classes, but this last month that we have a blog talk. All right? So with that, my name is Mashaba, and I would like to say shalom.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our power, Yahweh is one.